going down, man? It's Donnie Houston Podcast. I am Donnie Houston. Check it out, man. We got a very special guest today. Hey, we're going to go ahead, and I think this might be one of the first times, or it's a very rare occasion, you know what I mean, when you get to meet, you know, the fourth member, or would have been member of UGK, man. We know Pimp C, we know Bun B, we just had Mitchell Queen on, and now we got Jalon Jackson. What's going down, man?
Man, pleasure to be here, man. I'm loving it, man.
Already, how you feeling, man?
Great, man. Great. Yeah. Whole lot better, man.
For sure, for sure. So what's new with you, man?
Man, everything. Still, you know, the music a little bit. Me and my brother put something together. I had started a record label probably about 2004, you know. I always stayed in the music. You know what I'm saying? I managed to kind of, you know, be in the shows a lot, going to the shows with Chad and Bun and all that. So I kept, you know what I'm saying, abreast of it, but I was doing business. I'm more like a businessman, so.
Yeah. So you went to, you got a, what is it, barbecue and all that you say you got going with?
Yeah,
you?
I got a food truck. I did the hair business, man, for like about 25 years. And then I kind of just kind of semi-retired, and I food business. You know, my grandmother, you know, cooked. You know, I come from that background, whatever, Louisiana gumbo and all that. And, you know, so I just started to put it to work, man. So I opened up a little hamburger stand in the mall, you know, out there in PA where I was. Because I always kept a business, man. You know, just business all the time. So, you know, the pandemic came, you know, certain things, businesses start closing down. So I ended up coming up getting the food trailer. So I'm working on the food trailer now, doing the food truck with the turkey legs and stuff. You know, they got the turkey leg head and all that out here, but. You know, that's, he got his thing going. But it's mainly burgers, you know, barbecue links, homemade links, you know, the stuffed links, not the sausage, the links. You know what I'm saying? The real deal. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, some down-home cooking, like beans and rice, just everything. Just dinners, different days, a deli almost. So, you know, be looking for it. It's called Big Jack's Burgers and More. The music, Steady Fetty Entertainment. Bunch of tracks, bunch of music. We're about to put out, like, tracks for sale, tracks for lease. We're about to open up, start a website. Whatever. I'm still doing a little thing with the hair business too. I got Team Fusion Cuts coming out. Fusion Cuts, it was a big time, you know, company that I started out in Port Arthur, you know, out in the malls or whatever. You know, and both of the, you know, they had the major salons in Central Mall, and they left out, and I kind of took over and had a restaurant, you know, and I kind of, you know, basically did my thing to it. You know, brother, you know what I'm saying? And it worked out. You know, it's just a lot of things we have to learn in business. You know, a lot of, you know, stuff that me and my partners, you know what I'm saying, needed to kind of tighten up on. But, you know, we back now. You know, I'm back now, and I'm here in a bigger city.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Kind of small. You
know? Yeah. Right. So in the age, for sure, for sure. So, man, let's kind of just talk a little bit about just about the UGK thing and just the Port Arthur thing and, you know, you and Pimp and Bun and Mitchell Queen and all y'all, you know what I mean? Tell me just about PA, man, coming up in PA back then, man.
Coming up in PA was kind of crazy because it was so the whole thing with the rap thing and the music business, and, you know, a lot of people wonder why me and Mitchell, you know, backed down or whatever. But, you know, people didn't realize, you know, because Mitchell said the same thing. It wasn't lucrative, or it wasn't a thing. It was always like a hobby. It was always like breakdancing and, you know, certain things like this. So nobody came out, nobody had, like, you know, $4 million deals, you know. And, you know, like Mitchell said, Rap-A-Lot hadn't even went worldwide yet, so. It was just kind of hobby. I was playing football, about, you know, 240, 250, you know, just kind of into those, you know, pumping it up and everything. And I ended up kind of getting interested into that. And then after we got older, that kind of, you know, went away. And, you know, the whole time we were kind of like, you know, they were still there. Because, you know, like it all started, we were in the eighth grade. You know, I kind of moved on the other side of town and went to another school. So we weren't too popular. We weren't no ladies' men or whatever, no big football players, anything. And I went to a different school with Joe Wilson. And, you know, Chad was there, and, you know, a couple people. Mitchell was a little bit older, so I didn't really go to school with him. He was about a year older than us. So, well, he was the same age, but we went to different schools. So, you know, I went to the school.
So you went to the same school with Pimp?
Yeah, I ended up going 1 year. We went to school 1 year together, and that was the eighth grade.
Okay,
but we became best friends in eighth grade, and we just was cool forever. So, I mean, and what I'm talking about, too, is like actually from 80, I could tell you everything from 87 to probably 99, you know, 2003, 2004, because, you know, it was just, you know, it wasn't like they were Hollywood, but it was just, you know, a bunch of, you know, we were spread apart. But, you know, as long as we were in Louisiana, Dallas, and Houston shows, I was there. You know, concerts, I was there. You know, I was the barber, so I cut a little head, but I was still there. So I knew I was going to studio sessions. You know, I also did a little rapping with DJ DMD, you know, certain things like that. So it was just a hip-hop background. We had like a hip-hop background. It was music, but it was kind of hobby, and everybody had their little crews because we started out breakdancing. So I got to Woodrow Wilson in eighth grade, and, you know, we were back in the classroom. We were new. He was quiet, and I was new. So, you know, we sit back there, and he had his hand over his head, you know, with glasses, putting his head down all, you know, every day. And I would kind of wonder about him, you know. And I guess maybe the fourth or fifth day of school, we had a show and tell. We were kids, you know, eighth grade, we had like a show and tell. So he bought a boombox, and I bought a boombox. So he looked at me. He never said nothing to nobody. You know, he was just a classy guy. He looked over there. He said, "Man, what you got there for?" Looked at him. I said, "Man, what you got, you know, what's up with you?" You know, he was like, "Well, I rap. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be famous, you know, one day." You know,
he told you this in eighth grade.
Yeah. That's what tripped me out, man. The story. Like, this is a true story, man. He was like, "Man, I'm going to be famous." And he, you know what tripped me out? He had some ballets on. Like, we were in eighth grade, man. They didn't have all this. You know, George came out, you know, niggas was wearing gangster Nikes and, you know, regular Reeboks and, you know, K-Swiss and shit like that. So, you know, I got some BKs on or some troops or something. He, what you know about that? You know, I'm like, what you know? You know what I'm saying? So he got his trench coat on and all that. You know, we got the jumpsuit, sort of like this here. You know, we just bought it back. You know, we kind of dressed like this. So he got the big glasses, the Jerry curl, and I got the flat top with the nappy, you know. So, you know, he like, hold up. Push his thing, and the whole time, bro, like in class, he's listening to music. We got the Walkmans with the tear that you take the little string off and put it, he's thinking he's just in, you know, class, you know, kind of.
But he got music going.
Yeah, he's
listening
to beats and music. So he's like, you know, I said, well, I rap, you know, I break dance a little bit too, you know, but I'm, you know, because I was just kind of like a hobby dude, you know, so we ended up getting cool. I would go to his house, you know. I had some Synsonic drums, you know, little drum pads, and, you know, he had the keyboard, you know, then we, you know, 1 month later, you know, he might have got the keyboard with the drum pad, so we were just getting little Casio keyboards from Kmart and shit like that, and basically just making beats and, you know, getting egg crates, and, you know, he took all his clothes, he had all his clothes in the room all over the floor, and we had the closets empty. I did that in my room, too, and we'd get egg crates. Like, every time everybody finished eating eggs, we'd put them. So it's like, man, we're going to make us some sound booths in our rooms and shit like that. So we do that every Saturday. We come over, you make a beat, I'll make a beat, we rap or whatever. About a month later, the guy Terry Miller, you know what I'm saying? He's a popular guy. He was an athlete, competitive, really. So, you know, we rap, he rap. You know, we play tennis, somebody play tennis, he play tennis. You know, so, you know, he got in a rap thing, and he set up some type of little, we were in the eighth grade, man, ninth grade. He set up some type of little, I don't know if they out here, they still have like the little fashion shows. Like, you know, the little girls had a little dress.
Right,
right. So we get the rap. Like, you know, like
at the fashion show.
Yeah, we got a little special thing for y'all. So they come out, you know, we come out, and I'm kind of just a regular. I say my little thing and hurry up. And, you know, my homeboy, he, you know, Terry Miller, he superstar, you know, football jock. So he do his little thing, and Chad busts out. I'm talking about a whole nother different cat. MCC. He wasn't Pimp C at first, it was MC. That's what, you know, before you told me, I'm MCC, you know, and I'm, you know, I had little names, bullshit names, Die Hard. You know, I just always played around, you know, so he busted, I'm MCC, so-and-so, so-and-so, you know, I can't remember, it was so long, we were in eighth grade, 13 years old. And everybody, After that, you know, he, a couple dudes, you know, but it's the ladies, we still, we didn't have no ladies in that. We wasn't, you know, a couple dudes, they knew hip hop and all that, so they was kind of, you know, jocking us. So a couple years passed, 10th grade. Say, man, you know, we still kind of, he was, you know, the whole thing was DMD was the man. And he still is. That's like one of my top, I mean, I love music, all types of music. And he's one of my top producers. Like, and you know, he's in my top five, like top three maybe. You know, just, you've never heard nothing offbeat. You never heard nothing with Aaron fucking with DMD since like, since I've ever known it. So the whole thing was to kind of get with DMD. You know, Chad was, man, you know, they got DMI. You know, they got these dudes, Harlan, you know what I'm saying, Mitch and them, they be, you know, around there, you know, and I want to get with them.
But
you
so know, Mitch was already with DMD at this time.
Yeah, okay. DMI. Now, Mitch was kind of older, because see, it was kind of, the whole thing, man, Boonie Lope, What's up, Booney Lope? You know what I'm saying? That was the man. Booney Lope, you know, Lee Master. What's up, Lee Master, RTS? You know what I'm saying? Those, you know what I'm saying? Them dudes, they started out, we were looking up to them. You know, DMD, tight beats, you know? So the whole thing was, you know, for Chad to get up there with DMD and them and working, you know, I just kind of, just what I was doing, kind of, you know, playing around. I used my homeboy, you know, I liked it. It was kind of like a hobby or whatever. So we ended up about, back to about the 10th grade. You know, he's, you know this, say, man, you know this nigga named Bernard Freeman? I was like, yeah, because I would see Bun at Edison. We didn't have the same class, you know what I'm saying? We were kind of a year, you know, apart kind of, but I see him, and that's how, you remember, dude, the shoes, that's how some dudes was cool. We walked on the hallway. You know,
yeah,
what's up?
You got them? Yeah.
Yeah, he got the, Bun, one time he had some foot joys on with the FJ. I was like, because, you know, Bun, he was coming back and forth, but his dad lived in A-Leaf, some type of shit, so, you know, we tell from the 8th grade passed through, so about the 10th grade come, I was like, y'all know the nigga. I done seen him a couple times, you know what I'm saying? We with the shoes and shit like that. So he's like, man, nigga want to rap with us. So, and I guess that, you know, because I watched the other interview with Mitchell, say, I didn't know how that happened, but he just told me that. It was one night, he was like, man, we're going to go to the mall and meet this nigga. So.
So at this time, it's you, Mitch, and Pimp.
It was still just Mitch and Pimp, and I was just kind of making beats, like making rhymes and stuff. And me and Chessie, but it would be like we put our equipment together. So, you know, I'd have the beat machines and he'd have the keyboards. So, you know, we'd have music and records, all kind of music and records. So we had to, you know, we all just trade, you know, make, you know, and Mitchell Queen, he was kind of like he has the vaults and everything. He said he had something for me. That's crazy because the furthest I got, bro, I'm going to just tell you like this, the furthest I got, because they always, my buddies, rest in peace, Jay Will, the real Jay Will, you know what I'm saying? He would always say, man, they would call me the unseen king. They teased me. You know, yeah, right, UGK or whatever. You know, they call me UGK, but, you know, it was just crazy. So we ended up kind of just, like I say, it was me kind of just playing around with Chad on Sundays and Saturdays on the weekend, learning beats, playing beats, just keeping a swag. You know what I'm saying? Just being hip-hop. That's kind of what I was. Just like how the dudes used to do. I don't know if they still do it now. Back, remember, man, in like the late 90s when Screw came out, all the boys had karaoke boxes.
Yeah.
We're just working out. You know what I'm saying? Just staying, keeping the swag, keeping the gang, you know what I'm saying? And that's when people start freestyling and, you know what I'm saying, all that. So we ended up going back to, you know, the Bun thing. We ended up going to the mall, and I was like, man, dude, pretty cool, you know what I'm saying? So we hung out. He ended up staying about 5 blocks from me. So picking each other up from school, for school every day, drop, you know, going to school, being cool. We started dancing. You know, they had, you know, he was dancing too. They had a group, and that was 10th grade, 11th grade, that was the kid play type dance. Like, the you know, me and
get
my
partner,
my,
y'all.
Me and my partner was Scoob and Scrap, Orlando Smith. Mm. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We were Scoob and Scrap. We had the fishing hats and the hammer pants. So we did talent shows. So Bun was in the talent show. Me and my partner was in the talent show. I had my partners, Donovan Lord and Douglas Lord. They was with, so we did a 4-piece, and they did a 4-piece. So we were just kind of doing the dancing thing and all that. So after that, we were kind of just, we did the rap thing. And, you know, Bun was crazy, man. He would, like, basically go to the Lost and Found and take all the tablets and all that and rip all the pads out. And we'd all have, you know, we'd have pens and pads all the time.
Oh, man.
So we'd just sit in the cafeteria and write rhymes. We'd go to this John Seafood right off of Guffway. We'd go sit in there at night, write rhymes. You know, I had a lot of, because we were the PA militia, me and Bun. And, you know, Chad and Mitch, they were UGK, but there was some Mission Impossible, and they, you know, the UGK thing, because Chad was like, man, let us all get together, you know. And from what I heard, Mitch was kind of like, you know. And then, you know, we was like, all right, Chad was like, you know, let's do it, because we'd always, because the whole thing was, it was a bunch of us, you know. Like, Mitch, he kind of named everybody. I was a bunch of us, so we went through stages to where, like, we were going to say, we're going to put 2 people out. So we'd have meetings, but it never worked. You know, something just, you know, because it was so, you know, we're going to put these people out. You know, this little group, you know, Ted and Dan dancing, and, you know, Israel Kite, you know, just people dancing. And then we're going to try that with them. And it just never went around. But, you know, me and Bun, back to me and Bun, we actually would go to, there's instances, man, in Beaumont, they would have those little concerts, like the Ghetto Boys would come, and we'd be in the bathroom rapping against niggas.
Hmm.
Like, we would, you know, say our little verses and stuff. And like I said, I rap, there was no albums or whatever, but, you know, it was just little set scenarios like that. So I was in hip hop. And, you know, the videos would come out and, you know, this and that. So I guess the 11th grade, 12th grade, we kind of doing a little moving around now, getting out and all that. So we in Houston at the flea markets constantly. So, you know, producers, I don't know if you know about production. Like, me, I was just.
I'm a producer, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so I was in the car listening to, you know, the beat. We just, I was listening to in the car. We always want to listen to how it sounds in the car, you know, how it sounds.
Right, right. You do your beat test, right?
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right,
so right. We young, we didn't know what it was, but we beat testing. Well, we see, you know, DJ DMD do it. But we're in that beat testing. So he got to tell me something good. Russ, big time. Russell, you know, he's like, man, what's that? You know, Chatty always been kind of cocky. He was kind of. He was quiet, you know, wasn't like a tough guy, popular guy, but he was cocky with communication. So, yeah, this is mine. You know what I'm saying? It's us. You know what I'm saying? Dude was like, damn, you know, man, it's pretty nice. Whoop-de-blam. So, about 2 weeks later, man, he's like, Jack, we got to go to the studio, man. You want to drop, tell me something good? It's going to be like about 12 o'clock in the at night, about 3 o'clock in the morning.
So, he had just played the beat in the flea market?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, he played the beat. I mean, that's. But we, you know what I'm saying? It was a bunch of different, you know, it may have been a couple other times, but I was at a specific time and he played the beat and the dude loved it. And he was like, man, I got this other guy, you know, it's Point Blank. You know, so I got this other guy that, you know, I got, but I'm trying to start an independent label. Cool. We did that. I looked around, man, it was like a few months later, you know, Bun, he, you know, it was like, you know, go. They went to go drop the album, whatever. No, we wasn't even paying attention. No, Bun come back a couple months later, high school. He showed me a piece of paper as a picture of the album cover, the selling way, the first one. He's like, we did it. I was like, yeah. So, you know, nothing's, no young rappers, no Port Arthur, no Houston, no nothing. You know, the Ghetto Boys doing a little something, and they was backed by, you know, Jay. So, I mean, okay. Week later. Guy, I guess the Byron Hill, the manager got it. You know, it was a bunch of things that happened back with him. He ends up throwing him a release party, man. 19 years old, 18 years old, never been to a club, never been. So he goes to, you know, Chad's mother's house on like a Shreveport and El Vesta or whatever. Cars blocks long, man. Biggest party ever. Like, wow. Young man, country, Port Arthur, you know, never been anywhere. A couple weeks later, say, man, hey, wake up, man. We out here. We finna shoot a video. Use me up. I'm like, the car wash is going right up the street. I'm about two blocks at the car wash right here. Cameras.
But see, but by this time, though, they just a two-man group, though.
Yeah, it's still a two-man group. And it was kind of like, and even with that, like the first show was just crazy because it was Lake Charles. And nobody was really doing that. You know, they were throwing the parties like hip-hop was kind of doing it in New York and all that. But.
Okay, but wait. But by that time, though, you've already decided to do football, though.
Yeah, right. I played a little football, and I didn't even go to. It was after that. It was just I went to barber school.
Okay, so you didn't go on scholarship.
No, I didn't football? Do anything. I was just kind of like a bigger guy to play for, and it was something that I wanted to do. Never really just kind of was a star athlete or whatever. So I just put my mind to it, like in the 10th grade, that I was going to play for. That's the football start. So you know, they're like, man, you could do this. You could do this. You could do that. You could do that. And
so that was your conversation with Pimp and them, like, man, all right, well, I'm finna focus on football. I ain't really trying to do the rap.
Yeah, but it was basically, it wasn't that actually. It was kind of like I was in a sheltered, my grandmother was old fashioned, grandfather, and you're not going cuss and do all that. They going to hell. And, you know, you leave here and go to that studio, don't come back. And, you know, that's kind of how it was. Like, you know, 12 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning, you crazy? Okay, yeah. All right, UGK, go back in your room. 17, 18, you know, so that's kind of what actually happened.
Hmm.
You know, it wasn't.
That's interesting because this whole time it's been this man, well, you know, Jalon chose football and it really was just.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was you no just way. Had parents you know that what? Weren't going for that.
No, I couldn't get to the studio. I couldn't go to Houston at, you know, on a Wednesday night at, you know, Chad quit school.
Hmm.
I mean, they wouldn't let me do it even if I wanted to. I thought about it. And then I was like, well, who do I know rap? Or who do I know making it? You know, because me, the reason why I got into barbering, there was a guy that was a local barber that had been cutting hair about 50 years, and he had a barber shop. He had a club next to it. He had all kind of property. And I looked and I was like, man, I want to do that and be like this so I can have all that. So when it came to rap music, I was like, can I do that and be all that? And I'm looking at everybody and the guys, you know, I didn't know about millions and stuff, but you know, my stepfather and people working at plants, you know, busting their ass at plants, but they had decent cars and all that. So I thought that's, you know, I play a little football. I thought about it. And then I was like, well, I'm not actually a full blooded athlete. I'm not, you know, I was just kind of, and then I got to college. All them niggas was good. I was built like them, but they haven't playing football for about 10, 15, 20 years. They've been playing football since they were five. They had daddies that taught them how to play football. I was a big guy, you know, in a small town, you know, niggas were sorry. So, you know, I ended up just kind of, yeah, yeah. So when I got to, you know, I went to USL and, you know, maybe tried to walk on or something and shit. Big white boy, big, you know what I'm saying? Big old, I couldn't, you know, it wasn't, you know, so I just kind of took that weight off me because I put it on me to play football. Just like, say, for instance, it was a football movie, like, you know, Jamie Foxx, he's a
football. Yeah,
yeah, so I just went for about a year. I'm young, smart. I kind of, if I want to do something, I figure out how to do it. So I'm like, it was football. I'm going to have to eat right. I'm going to pump these weights. I'm going to study it. So I did it for a summer, and they went back, and they was like, wow. I went to not even on the depth chart to, like, a starter.
Yeah. So you were saying, I mean, even though, you know, you still were in the mix or whatever, like, tell me some of your maybe, like, fondest memories of just times of being around them within that time period.
Actually, the videos and then, okay, like, man, just think about it. I go to his house one day, you know, I'm from college, going to college, coming back, Barber College, or living, you know, because I was going out there. I was going to Louisiana. So I come back. They got a gold Menace to Society album on the floor, like, laying there on the coffee table. He's like, yeah, man.
Boys really did it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then they used me up. He used to keep keyboard, like, right here. He might have a keyboard on the coffee table, and he might just do some samples and stuff, make some beats, and then he'll bring it back, you know what I'm saying, in there. So went in there one time, the next day, he's on the phone, man, with Bill Withers. Bill Withers told him he loved the song, but he don't cuss on it. He said, man, I ain't even charging nothing, just don't cuss on it. And that was crazy. You know, the Walmart, you know, I was at Walmart. We were in Louisiana, Alexandria or something one time. And we were at Walmart, man. People started just running toward chicks, just people in the back. We went to Papa Do's one time. It was crazy, man. The cooks, the managers, everybody just, that was crazy too. So, yeah, it was, you know, or us being like, they start making that 10 grand a show, you know, say, man, come chill, let's cut my hair. Go to mama house, you know, mama, give me $200. You know what I'm saying? Just to drive maybe to Lafayette or something. You know, and I get there, you know, this dude's there, you know, it's my barber, man, what the, you know, my homeboy, whatever, you know, just things like this, certain little things, a studio with certain people going to Lil J. Man, we used to go, J Prince, you know, we would, like, literally go in there and just let him listen. He wanted, you know, to sign Chad way before they were so bad. And I was there that whole time, like, just, certainly 3-2, rest in peace. We pick him up. You know, I remember when he was doing the card, 3-2 was about to be on death row. Yeah. Like, all that, I know all that, you know, it's in that history. He was down, he came back and kicked it with C when he got back from California. Actually, he played us some footage of that intro, you know, that Really Doe and Big Baby and Snoop was, like, was saying all that.
He did a demo for it?
Yeah, he was kind of like, I heard some foot, like, yeah. He was kind of like, you know, talking just like, you know, he's the, you know, how he talking all that. It was crazy, man. Like, in the mix with all that. I seen all that, man. Like, it was crazy. And I spent a lot of time with, I knew Mel Smith, but that was through Labu. I got a buddy named Labu. Shout out to Labu. He a good rapper, man. This year, he was one of the dudes, one of the main dudes on the 11 and 22. Shining and all that. Yeah, we represent PA. He was one of them cats. Tight. You know, so I met a lot, you know, Mary J. Blige, you know, they were close. She was trying to get him signed and all that, man. It was, you know, it was a journey. I mean, I did everything, I guess, but rapped.
Yeah. So when was the last time you talked to Pimp C?
Oh, man, it was kind of like when he got out. I had moved away, man. I was in Boston. Like, when I was in Massachusetts. Actually, when that Source cover came out, he's locked up and all that, so I was away a lot. You know, I wasn't even able to go to the funeral service, man. It was just, I missed a lot, and a lot of people were like, man, I can't believe this. But, I mean, I went through, you know, a lot. You know, I went through a divorce. You know, I got some boys, man, grown now, you know, but You know, I was dealing with a lot of things, pressure, financial problems, you know, like just trying to build, because I'm the type of person, man, I take everything I got and I put, you know, a whole lot to it. You know, sometimes, you know, it may not work. Sometimes you get people, you know, sometimes you're not knowledgeable of certain things, or sometimes you get people that's not knowledgeable and it won't work for them or whatever, you know, but, you know, life moves on. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of situations, man. I'm talking about kind of like he would love to just make people laugh, man. He was funny. He loved it. Like, oh, he was amused by our grandfathers. Like, he would love how his grandfathers talk and all that, and talk fast. And he would say, I'm 23, but I'm 53. Mm-hmm. You know, he loved Red Fox. People like Dolomite. You know, people like, that's what we like. You know, certain people like grown, you know, like some funny, like old men make us laugh, like the old, you know. So that's what he would always do. You know, my grandfather, we would try to talk in his dialect. We try to talk, and, you know, that's all we talk to people. You know, look at here, boy. You know, all kind of stuff like that. Say, boy, and all that. That's kind of, you know, we were doing that too. Hmm. But we was just kind of doing it like an old school swag, like we some old school cats or something. So it's just crazy, man. We went through, like, we wanted to be real older than what we were. And now, shit, old now. Hmm. But, man, we wanted to be older than what we were. That was the whole thing, and that was him. He wanted to be really, really mature. You know, like some, you know, when he clown, you know, he'd sing like Teddy Pendergrass on a deep voice, you know, raspy or something, or he'd sing, you know, just really some grown man. We always wanted to be like a professional type, even kind of like even the music was raw and whatever, but we wanted to be corporate.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be like this independent type thugs way before this happened.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We were a little bit younger, you know.
Yeah. You still keep in contact with Bun?
I don't talk to Bun much, man. I don't know what happened, but you know, I'm still here. You know, I'm in Houston now, actually. You know, and that's the whole thing. Now I feel like, you know, I know it's a UGK interview or whatever, but I feel like I'm in Houston now, and it's a wonderful opportunity, and it's so close to home. You know, like I'm so glad to be out here with y'all brothers, because man, I realize I'm a Texas nigga, man. I'm from a Texas. Like I've been to Boston, I've been to Georgia or whatever, and it just didn't work. I'm from Texas, man. And I feel like this is the best place. You know, Austin, San Antonio is pretty good, but man, I mean, they did it here.
Hmm.
And I mean, I love PA. PA is my home, I love it. I love everybody there, but you know, sometimes, you know, you gotta go, you know. Hey.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Jordan didn't stay in Carolina. No, I'm staying out here. He had to go, but he put them Carolina Blue Jays out when he, you know, came up. Or, they say all the Carolina foot actions got Jordans in them.
Yeah.
All wild. So, yeah.
For sure. That's what's up, man. Man, you got anything before we get up out of here?
Oh, man. Peace out to everybody in PA. Peace out to my brother. You know, he great producer. I'm going to let you hear some stuff in a minute.
So bad.
You know, he keeping the flame blowing, you know, keeping the flame going. Mel Loke, you know, a great artist, man, I've been dealing with. This is actually the person that, you know, was the first artist under my label, Steady Fetty. Matter of fact, I got something for you, man.
Man, that's for sure.
You got some Fetty Game.
Oh, man.
Steady Fetty Entertainment.
All right, ready.
That's the label, Steady Fetty Entertainment. So it's Fetty Gang.
That's a bet. That's
Mel Loke, you know, T-Mac. That's us, man. We, you know, just, we really trying to do our thing. You'll see Mel was freshly, he shot a video. It's about to come out pretty soon called Trill Nigga. Got a demo. We got an EP coming out pretty soon. I'm gonna send you some links or whatever. You know, we trying to get the YouTube page going or whatever. And I hope it's not the last time I get to hear from you, or whenever I get to advertise, because I'm gonna definitely do some marketing.
For sure, for sure.
I'm all about marketing. You know, maybe, you know, I can work out something, because what I'm actually trying to do too is get a podcast. Now I'm old school. I kept telling people, man, I want a TV channel. I want to be on TV, and everybody like, nah, it's a podcast, whatever. So I'm working on that, because you know, I'm a pretty good cook, so I want to do some cooking blogs. I actually want to network, man, because I feel like if we all got together, you know, you have your show. I got my cooking show. You know, we got some people that do sports, you know, like ESPN or whatever, man. And it's podcasts, we can all do it now. You know, we at home, pandemics and stuff like that. You know, we get, you know, my thing is, you know, they give us, you know, people are worried about the stimulus and unemployment. What are you doing with it? You get your stimulus, what are you doing with it? Where you gonna go with it? You gonna go to the club with it? You gonna trick it off? You gonna drink it? You gonna smoke it? What are you gonna do with it? And it's been said already that, you know, during recessions and tough times, that's when the poor people become rich. And with me, man, I've had enough time. I've created a whole another part. I'm Jalon Jackson, but this is a whole. I'm serious.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is, well, man. What's your social media and everything, man?
It's Jay Fuse on Instagram, but Serious Jackson on Facebook. Big Jack's Burgers and More. It's coming maybe within the next week or two. It's like I got a 30-foot food truck that I'm working on. Real, it's all fully, like, I can do cooking food, frying, do all whatever. So all kind of shit gonna be coming out.
That's what it is. Well, man, I appreciate you coming through, man.
I appreciate you. I love it, man. Yeah, just, you know, he's a Leo.
He's a Leo. Shout out, he's a Leo, for sure.
That's the hardest working man in the rap game. Yeah, man. I promise you, man. I watched that boy, man. I'm talking about, he put his own album. He do his own market, he do his own shows. You know, people, man, oh, man. But that's how you get it. That's how you do it. So, Easy Lee, you know, my people, baby, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, you know, moms, love you. You know, everybody else, Ricky Diamonds, get at me. You know, a couple other people. Oh, 4-5. 4-5 for life, man. 4-5. 4-5. Uncle Roy, KJ, you know what I'm saying? Cookie. No, Kong Jory, man, be looking out for KJ. Kong Jory, man.
Yeah,
man. But yeah, man, it was a pleasure. I'm about to work on some investments, I got some investors, you know, I'm trying to, you know, that was the whole thing, kind of funded, man. This pandemic, you know, put everybody on their ass, and I'm not going to sit here and say I'm a millionaire, and I I'm not sure. So trying to get some investing and funding going. I got a few people that I met this week, and we're going to get this these food trucks, because I'm going to have these food trucks everywhere.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, listen, appreciate you coming through. You know,
I'm gonna bring you. I'm gonna come back and bring you some barbecue. Yeah, man. I really want to add a fender bender at the airport and everything. But we were gonna smoke some turkey legs and have some homemade links for you too. But I'll bring it back.
Man. That's a bit. Well, yeah, man. I'm Donnie Houston. Check out the website DonnieHoustonWorld.com. You know what I'm saying? Subscribe if you're watching. You're not a subscriber. Turn your alerts on. If you wanna. You know, you're interested in doing some sponsorship, email david@theheistagency.co. If you not follow me on Instagram and all that, follow me. I'm Donnie Houston, IMDONNIEHOUSTON. Also, Donnie Houston Podcast, that's on Instagram as well. Search me, Donnie Houston Podcast, that's on all social media. But yeah, man, it's going down. We out.